Many of you, I'm sure, own a microwave oven. We enjoy the convenience of it and how fast it will prepare certain things. And there are various foods now that are packaged and prepared specifically for the microwave that we might get our food faster and quicker and get on with other things. I like all of the labor-saving devices that are in my home, such as the automatic dishwasher and microwave and all those kinds of things. It makes life a little easier, and we can get on with what we need to do and then do something else. But unfortunately, as we continue in our society and finding these kinds of devices, and we have fast food and fast this and instant that, the problem that sometimes ensures is that we carry that attitude or that mindset over into spiritual things. And when we do that and we want something quick and we want something easy, but yet we want all the benefits that come from what we're trying to do, we end up with what I call microwave religion. Those of you that are old-timers like myself and Mike Eisenberg, I had to get in that little dig there. Remember that Dr. James Cale was here many years ago and gave a weekend-type seminar. And Mike reminded me of this story, and it fits so very well by way of introduction. And he was trying to make the point that the trouble is worth it, that even back then in the late 70s, early 80s, people weren't making biscuits from scratch anymore. They were buying the Wham biscuits. Now, you know, it's those things that come in a tube, and you wham them there on the kitchen counter, and they pop open, and you put them on the sheet and bake them, and they're done real quick. And so we used to call those, still do, get some Wham biscuits. But what he was trying to make, point he was trying to make was, a lot of times when we make those biscuits from scratch, they taste oh so much better. And anything made from scratch tastes better than the quick kind, and the trouble is worth it. That what we have to go through in preparation and in time and expense and all that is worth all that effort because it tastes so much better, probably even better for you. I'm here to tell you today that as we talk about microwave religion, that the trouble is worth it. There's nothing inherently wrong with labor-saving devices. There's nothing inherently wrong every now and then with a good shortcut. But sometimes we shortcut too much and we end up hurting only ourselves when it comes to spiritual things. So I hope you have your Sunday talk with you and want to go through the sermon outline there on page 3 because I want to bring up some things that unfortunately I get caught up in, and I'll bet if you'll be honest with yourself, you get caught up in, and we start practicing microwave religion. And so my admonition to me and to you is that we don't do that. Now, that all having been said, let me get in my commercial and we'll go right on. I want you at my house today from 3 to 5:30, all right, for our open house. We want to spread a little holiday cheer, and we want you to breeze right in. I know it's going to be windy, so you can just breeze right in, all right, and enjoy that time together. All right, microwave religion, first of all, means salvation without sacrifice. It means in our way of thinking sometimes that we want salvation, but we don't want any of the sacrifice. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." I believe that's the great formula for discipleship. It doesn't really tell us how to become a Christian. That's another whole set of situations. But if we want to be a true disciple, a true follower, a true learner of Jesus, here's the three things that Jesus said, and we can't shortcut, we can't microwave any of them. We've got to learn to deny self, take up our cross every day, and follow Him. That's it. And if we want anything less than that, we're not talking about the sacrifice that needs to be there. Chris read for us out of Luke chapter 14, verses 25 down through 35, where herein Jesus talks about counting the cost. And he says when it comes to being a disciple, as it is in life, we are to count the cost and make sure we know what we're getting into. And he tells a couple examples there about a fellow who is going to build a house and a tower or whatever, and he wants to make sure he's got enough money to finish it, because if he doesn't, then everybody's going to ridicule him. And he talks about a particular king who was thinking about going to war with someone who's obviously a little stronger numerically, and he figures out, is this really a good thing? Because if he doesn't, he's going to get whooped. Well, truly, Jesus says when it comes to following him, we need to count the cost. So there is a cost involved. We can't microwave this thing called discipleship. We can't find a shortcut. We can't find the easy way out. Salvation means sacrifice. It means sacrifice for Jesus. He died on the cross, and it means sacrifice then for us. Truly, when David was going to prepare a sacrifice at one time, there was another fellow there, as we read about in 2 Samuel, who was going to give him all the things for the sacrifice. And David said, "I will not sacrifice to the Lord that which costs me nothing." And that's just a beautiful statement about that, because David knew he needed to procure the ram or whatever type of sacrifice he was making there, and to get the place and the altar and all of that. That truly it wouldn't be a sacrifice if it didn't cost him anything. Well, a lot of times in life, we want all the glory, we want all the benefit, and we want none of the sacrifice. And maybe we can get that with our microwaves and our fast food and instant this and instant that, but you can't get it spiritually. Salvation means sacrifice. It means the denial of self. It means taking up that cross daily and following Him. It means just as what Jesus said there, that our love for Him should be so strong that it would seem as if we hate our mother, brother, father, sister, family, and all of that. Now, we don't hate anybody. We certainly don't hate family. But the cost of following Jesus means that our love and our obedience to Him should be of such a magnitude that it would appear as if we actually hate our own family. Don't practice microwave religion and substitute and think you can substitute salvation without sacrifice. It just doesn't work. Number two, microwave religion means remission without repentance. It means remission without repentance. At least that's the way we think. We all want forgiveness of our sins. We all want God to take care of that, and rightfully so. But sometimes we don't want to repent. And yet that's what Jesus said to do through Peter as he preached there on the day of Pentecost. It says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you will be given the gift of the Holy Spirit." Two things to be done there. We need to repent and be baptized if we're going to receive the remission of our sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, being baptized is not a difficult thing. Oh, sometimes pride and ego gets in the way, and we think maybe we're too good to be baptized. But when you think about it, being baptized is not hard. You don't do any work at all. Somebody else is lowering you into the water. Someone else is bringing you up out of the water. They're the ones doing all the work. Baptism is therefore called a passive act. And truly, it's something very easy to accomplish. The thing that's difficult is repentance. The thing that's hard to get a grip on and hard to carry out is saying, "I'm going to change my life. I'm going to change my way of thinking. I'm going to change the way I do business with God." That's repentance. The word literally means to turn around, to make that 180-degree pivot. In life, instead of following the devil and following self, you turn around and you start following God. And I believe it's not something that you do just one time and it's over, but there's a lifestyle. There is a life of repentance, and that's not easy. But I'm here to tell you, there's no shortcut to staying away from sin. I wish I could microwave it for you and say, and pop it out and say, "Here it is. Here's how you're going to stay away from sin." The only way to do it is make your mind up you're not going to do it. And you're going to practice daily repentance. Paul said there in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10, "For the sorrow that is according to the will of God leads to salvation with no regret. But that which is according to the world leads to death." Truly, he says, when we truly repent and continue repenting, there's no regret. And it leads to salvation, that truly we're going to have that which we really want. And so microwave religion says you can have the forgiveness of sins without repentance. And I'm here to tell you, I can't microwave that one for you. You can't microwave it for yourself. We need to make up our mind daily to turn away from temptation and sin. Number three, I believe that microwave religion means righteousness without obedience. Righteousness without obedience. Truly, we want to be right before God. We want to do the right things. We want to say the right things. And that is wonderful. That is great. But again, I don't believe there's any way to microwave this. I don't believe there's any shortcut that we can find in which to attain the righteousness. It comes by doing the right things. Now, of course, our initial righteousness is imputed to us by Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He who is our righteousness became our righteousness in our behalf. And truly that is given to us. We are not righteous by ourselves. But to keep that righteousness alive and to keep us in a proper relationship with God, we need to be continually obedient to Him. And obedience is tough. Even Jesus learned obedience by the things of which He suffered. And truly, obedience is part of the human endeavor, that we have to come to know Him and know Him by keeping His commandments. We just saw that in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4 a few weeks ago in our series in 1 John. But truly, he says there, John does in John chapter 5 and verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." It'd be one thing if God had asked us to do something we're not capable of doing. Then we'd have a gripe. Then we'd have an argument. "Well, God, you've just given me a command that I can't handle. You've given me a command that I just can't carry out. I can't do this. It's not humanly possible." But, you know, none of one of the Lord's commands fits under that category. The fact is, John tells us just the opposite. He says His commands are not a burden. His commands are not grievousome. And so while we're looking for this shortcut, while we're looking to, you know, get out the Wham biscuits instead of making them from scratch, John tells us, make them from scratch. He says the trouble's worth it. Because surely these commandments are not a burden. They're not grievousome to your soul. They will work. And so truly when we make that determination that we're going to be obedient to God, that we're going to do what He says, then we get the righteousness that comes from living a lifestyle that's acceptable unto Him. And so don't try to microwave it. Don't let somebody else be your righteousness for you or try to get in onto heaven on the coattails of somebody else. It just doesn't work. But truly, let's learn to be obedient and then enjoy the righteousness that comes from being just that. The next thing is, as microwave religion means, is that it means morality without self-denial. Morality without self-denial. Again, we as a people want to do the right thing, and that's commendable. I'm thrilled when I hear people say, "Well, I'm not going to cheat on my income tax," or "I'm going to obey the laws of the land when I drive my car," and "I'm going to do this because God wants me to do this." That shows a great moral integrity that you really believe between right and wrong. But sometimes there's folks out there that want to be morally right, but they don't want to practice the self-denial that gets them there. But truly, when we understand the grace of God, we're going to live a life that is morally straight. We're going to practice that very self-denial. Listen to what Paul says here in Titus chapter 2. I had my 2 Timothy, man. Titus 2 is all turned around there. Titus 2, beginning in verse 11. "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us." Now notice, we can't treat this grace of God cheaply. You know, that this grace that saves all men has instructed us to do something. Here it is. "Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age." Yeah, you want to treat grace cheaply, then just live however you want to and expect God to save you anyway. I think you're going to have a rude awakening on the day of judgment when that kind of lifestyle. Because a true appreciation of the grace of God says that this grace has instructed us to deny ungodliness. There's that self-denial. To get rid of the worldly desires and live a life that's sensible, righteous, and godly in the present age. Yeah. You cannot have morality without self-denial. I wish I could microwave it for you and just give it to you real quick and say, here's your morality. But the only way to get there is to know that the trouble's worth it. The trouble to say no to temptation, to say no to sin, to say no to the devil, and to adhere in that particular vein to the very righteousness of God will give you that morality that you're looking for. You know, even the Apostle Paul, as great as he was, as many gifts of the Holy Spirit that he had, as many languages that he could speak in by the power of the Spirit, he said there in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27 that he buffeted his body daily. He said, "I've got to practice that self-denial every day." Well, I don't think, and you probably don't think, we're greater than Paul. A lot of people would put themselves in second, third, fourth, fifth place behind him if it comes to ranking righteousness. And yet this one whom we many times revere said, I have to practice this self-denial, this buffeting of my body every day, lest I be disqualified. Number five, microwave religion means growth without diligence. It means growth without diligence. It is a tragedy of how many people have been in Christ for many years and yet spiritually are still babies. They haven't grown up. They haven't matured as they should within their particular ways in which they handle life and handle their relationships. They haven't matured in their Bible knowledge and use of the book. The Hebrews writer just really comes down on those Jewish Christians there in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. And he says, by this time you ought to be teachers. But somebody needs to teach you again the elementary principles of righteousness or the oracles of God. He says you should have grown up. He said you should have matured by now. And instead of needing solid food, you're still on the milk. You're still on the simple things. Growth, spiritual growth, can't microwave it. You can't just pop out the Wham biscuits there and say, here it is. It comes through diligence. I remember a good sister many years ago said, well, Greg, I wish I had your memory. I just love the way you can stand up there and quote Scripture and know the Bible, and you just go right to this passage, and somebody wants to know this verse, you know right where the book and the chapter and the verse and all that. I just wish I had that gift. And I said, it's not a gift. I don't feel like I have any better memory than anybody else. It came through hard work. It came through my making a list many years ago of all the Scriptures I want to memorize and then just memorizing them. And I review that list regularly. Truly, it comes with diligence. It comes because we work at it. It becomes we're trying and we're giving all that we can in that particular way. Peter said, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. You know, we look at that list and we say, wow, I can't do all of that. That's just way too much. I add all that stuff? How in the world am I going to do that? Hello? He just told you how to do all that. Apply all diligence. Yeah, it takes work. You can't microwave it. You can't shortcut it. If there was a way, I'd let you know, absolutely, because I'd want these things in my life in greater and increasing qualities and quantities, and so do you. But you just can't do it. It's not there. It doesn't work that way. If you want to grow spiritually, you've got to work at it. The microwave religion says you can have growth without diligence. The Bible says otherwise. Number six, microwave religion is to have knowledge without study. To have knowledge without study. You remember the passage back in Hosea, at least I hope you do, better. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, where Hosea, speaking for the Lord, says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You go over there to Hosea chapter 8 and verse 12, he says, I have given them 10,000 precepts of my law, and yet they regard it as a strange thing. There were plenty of copies of the Word of God available to the people in Hosea's day, but they chose to ignore it. The Bible was a strange thing. And I think about myself and what I know and what I like to know. I think about all of you. And what do you know? What would you like to know? And, of course, we could always put ourselves on a guilt trip. There's always more to know. You never know it all. And so in that respect, we're going the wrong direction. But let's talk about some simple things here. Can you open your Bible and share the passages to teach someone how to become a Christian? Can you find the Sermon on the Mount within the Bible? Can you find the chapter within the New Testament where it shows the beginning of the church? Do you know where to go and what book to turn to if you want to talk about Christian joy? Would you agree with me that those things that I just talked about are very elemental, very simple things? And yet I wonder how many of us could do that. How many of us could open our Bible and share three or four passages of Scripture and be able to share the gospel plan of salvation? If somebody wanted to know, when did the church begin, could you take them to the book and chapter where it started? If somebody was quoting maybe incorrectly from the Sermon on the Mount, could you take them there and say, no, this is what that verse is about? Very simple, very elemental things. But you see, sometimes just listening to me or your Bible class teacher or whatever, it's not enough. Oh, it's good, but it's not enough. Knowledge comes not through a microwave, not through a wham biscuits approach, not through any kind of shortcut. It comes through study. It comes through application. It comes through hard work. That's how you get there. That's how everybody gets there. And truly, microwave religion says, well, I can find my knowledge and I can get it because I know the preacher will have it, or the elder will have it, or the Bible class teacher will have it, and I'll just go to them. And yes, praise be to God if they have it. Praise not be to God if you don't have it. Truly, knowledge comes with study. Microwave religion says it's the shortcut. I'm telling you, nah, it's not there. Paul argues in Ephesians 4 and verse 14, as a result, that is, knowing of all these wonderful gifts that are in the church, we are no longer children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and craftiness in deceitful scheming. You want to be someone who's not carried away by every wind of doctrine, not carried away by the craftiness of men and their evil scheming? Know your Bible. Yeah. And I can't microwave it. You're just going to have to study it on your own. I'll be glad to help you, but you'll have to do it by yourself. You'll have to do it and put the time in there to know these things. Otherwise, when that scheming of trickery of evil men comes about, you might get carried away because you've tried to microwave your knowledge. Finally this morning, microwave religion means truth without controversy. We kid about it, we joke about it, but unfortunately this type of attitude has sometimes crept into the church, and we talk about being politically correct. Oh, I don't want to offend someone, or, oh, you can't say this, and you can't say that, and make sure that you choose a euphemism, don't come right down and say what it really is. Jesus didn't follow political correctness. He was loving, he was kind, he was fair, but he shot straight, as they like to say. And it meant controversy. It meant that not everybody liked him. Truly, he had his enemies. Go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll find them. They're there. So much so they wanted to put him to death on various occasions. They had all they could take of this Jesus. And what was his crime? He taught the truth. He told people about God. He shot straight. He wasn't politically correct. Today, if we're going to be people of truth, that means we may have to pay the price of some controversy. We won't be able to just soft soap things and find the euphemisms that others do to take that which we know to be right and make it a little easier to swallow. Truly, Jude said there in verse 3 of his letter, I'm making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, but I felt the necessity to write to you that you earnestly contend. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean to be contentious, but it means to earnestly contend for the truth once for all delivered unto the saints. If you're going to be people of the truth, if you're going to be people of the book and people of Jesus, then there's going to be some controversy. There's going to be some lines drawn that you've drawn and others have drawn that you won't be able to cross. Does the truth make you squeamish? You know, remember, good preaching, good teaching, good acknowledgement of the Word of God sounds reveille, not taps. We've got a good news for people. We're going to tell them how to live right by God. We're going to tell them what God wants them to do so that they can spend eternity with Him. And if they don't like that message, it's not our fault. It's the message that we have to preach. And so we need to preach that message in all of its truth and all of its beauty and all of its directness and all of its honesty. In Ephesians 5 and verse 11, it says, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. I don't know that you need to be a spiritual detective and just looking for a heretic around every corner, but by the same time, we don't need to be politically correct when it comes to sin. We need to be God correct and expose the error that's out there and call people to a higher standard. Call people to the standard of living God's way. Well, I wish I could microwave it for you. I wish I could make it easy. But think about your relationship with God. Are you trying to get by with the shortcuts and trying to get by with the instant this and the instant that? Hey, we're all prone to it because of the society we live in. But true spiritual growth, knowledge, and being what we ought to be means the trouble is worth it. Fact is, you got to go that way. You can't microwave your religion. Your religion can't be a matter of convenience. It has to be a matter of commitment. Commitment of doing what God wants you to do. And so if you're ready for a religion and a relationship with God based not on convenience, but on your commitment to Him, then James has selected an invitation song to encourage you. If you need to give your life to Christ and say you're tired of microwaving it and you want to commit to doing it God's way, the good way, then truly come now and come while we stand and while we sing.